flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I need to clarify the golf because someone texted me and said, what do you mean Scotty's not in contention? Well, he's not on the first page of the leaderboard, but with Scotty, you never know. So once again, story, over the holidays, cuts his hand, can't play golf until this week at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And here's Scotty, tied for ninth, 67, 70, 69. That's good for 10 under par in a tie for ninth, but he has a ways to go to get to the leaders, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, who are at 15 under par. And they won that team event in New Orleans a year ago, if memory serves. Tom Kim, Sepp Straka, he hit an errant shot down onto the beach, and it landed next to a piece of driftwood, I kid you not, on the beach at Pebble Beach. So final round coming up tomorrow. All right, let's talk hockey. The Wild continue the road trip. And the Wild, there's no team in the NHL better on the road. It's not even close. And Sarah McClellan covers for the Star Tribune. Sarah, it's extraordinary how good the Wild have been on the road this year.
You're right. I mean, it's obviously a big reason why they are where they are in the standings and they have the record they do. It's baffling, though, that they haven't been able to translate that success to home. You know, perennially, this is a franchise that has done very well on home ice, but, you know, the bulk of their success this season has come when they've been the visitor. And it's really been, I think, probably confusing for a lot of people that they haven't been able to have the same results at home. But fortunately for them, they've been on the road a lot. And, you know, right now they're in the midst of 5 in a row on the road. And as you probably expect, they've won the first 3 games and can win the 4th tonight. So they just seem to really thrive in the role that a road team typically has, in the sense that, you know, they're kind of patient for offense. They really simplify their game and they really protect their own end. And I think that's obviously the way they'd like to play at home too, but it just clicks on the road. And obviously, eventually, though, the schedule is going to balance out. So they're gonna spend a lot of time at home coming up after the Four Nations tournament break. And so it'll be a challenge, I think, to see if they can finally figure that record out. But fortunately for them, they're on the road right now, and they've been playing really well on this trip.
And it became a necessity because of the way the year started, that they were going to be on the road a ton. And Sarah, you've been on the beat a long time and covered the NHL for a long time. You can't necessarily, you know, win the Stanley Cup in the first month, but you can make it very difficult to get to the playoffs if you stumble out of the gate. So it was imperative that they got off to a good start and got points on the road early.
You're right. I think the schedule totally set them up to kind of find this groove early, because if they didn't get as many points as they did early on, when they rattled off like 7 in a row on the road, you know, they would have been in a really steep hole, like you mentioned, that would have been very tough to climb out of. Yeah, you're right. No matter, you know, you can't win the Stanley Cup early on, but you can really make it tough to try to get into the playoffs to win it. So I think the schedule, yeah, helped them. And they were very aware of that. And they were very aware of having just a good start in general, since that obviously was not the case a season ago. You know, culminated in the coaching change, and then they were just chasing, you know, the entire season. Even if they had better spurts later on, they could just never really climb back into it. So you're right. I think the schedule, needing to get off to a good start, kind of was the perfect combination for them to find their game early, and then they've just stuck with it ever since on the road.
Yeah, I looked it up on Friday. I was sitting in with Vanita for Henry Lake on the sports at 7:40. The 20 wins was 4 more than the next two, and that's Florida and Winnipeg, who had 16. And oh, by the way, Winnipeg leading the division, and on Friday morning anyway, leading the NHL in points. So the fact that they're 25-3 on the road is just incredible, and the most memorable of all may have been the win over Montreal with Marc-Andre Fleury in the net. That's as good as it gets in sports.
Yeah, you know, just even aside from the storybook element of it, you know, you're right. Like, that was probably one of the better, if not the best, road game the Wild have played this season. Just executing the way they need to play in their style to a T. And obviously the motivation was there to play so well for Marc-Andre Fleury in, you know, what should be his last start in Montreal. He grew up an hour outside of the city, and, you know, grew up watching the Canadiens, obviously. But just they were so diligent in front of him, blocking so many shots. You could just tell the care that they had, and it was indicative of him and wanting him to have, you know, a real memorable last game there in front of his family and friends. You know, he only had 8 saves for the first 2 periods, which I think very much speaks to, you know, how tight the team was playing in front of him. You know, he mentioned how stressed and nervous he felt. He really wanted to put on a good show, you know, in front of the fans at Bell Center. And he certainly did, you know, his first shutout of the season, a 4-0 victory for the Wild. And yeah, I think you're right. Just a game that probably, you know, the whole league, hockey fans, the hockey world won't forget anytime soon, for him to have such a special final game there. The cheers, you know, play stopping late in the third after he was acknowledged on the video board and he received a standing ovation and they wouldn't drop the puck. You know, the cheers just stretched on and on for him to be named first star and to come out for a curtain call right as a bouquet of flowers hit the ice. It really, really was a special scene in Montreal. And I think, you know, something that nobody who was part of it or witnessed it will probably forget anytime soon.
Yeah, and the handshake line after for Fleury,
right.
and what the game means in Montreal. I know how hockey important hockey is here in Minnesota. The NHL and the Canadiens and the history, that's almost another level.
Yeah, like, he never played for the Canadiens, yeah. You know, like he grew up, as I said, like an hour outside the city. You know, he didn't even go to a lot of games at Bell Center, you know, growing up, you know, but obviously everyone knows where he's from, the history that he's, you know, had with his career, 3 Stanley Cups, a first overall draft pick, a Vezina trophy. He is revered, you know, in Montreal, and you could tell just the number of jerseys in the crowd, the buzz. You know, and obviously it was a dud of a game from a Montreal perspective, but the fans that were there to cheer him, to acknowledge him, you know, it really was quite a scene and something that kind of rare for sports that we see, you know, what, not just hockey, but, you know, someone to be so cheered and appreciated and applauded, you know, as a visiting, you know, player from the other team who has no connection to that team other than like being a fan growing up. It really was unique. And I think that just showcases one of the special, you know, parts of hockey in the game, but also just the legacy that Marc-Andre Fleury has built. That was a real testament to it for sure.
And Sarah, one other point about the flower this year is it's not been just a farewell tour. He has contributed in big spots when Philip Gustafson, the number one, has been out of the lineup or not playing as well. Fleury has been a big part of this as well as a veteran goaltender.
Totally. He is not limping to the finish line. He is playing very well. You know, so much so that it's begged the question, you know, is he really ready to retire? And, you know, he hasn't second-guessed himself, obviously. But clearly the results speak for themselves. And he's been an important part of this team. You know, they've been able to rotate him in when needed early in the season. And he was really good kind of in those spot starts. But then you're right, more recently when he's had a little bit more action, Gustafson was kind of in a rut there for a little bit. They really got quality starts from Marc-Andre Fleury, and that's just been his MO his whole career. No surprising, it's coming, you know, in his final season. But you're right, it hasn't just been, you know, the fanfare of his last season and send-offs everywhere he goes. He's been an important part of this hockey club, and I'd expect that to continue the rest of the way.
Sarah McClellan joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. She covers the Wild for the Star Tribune there in Ottawa tonight, in Boston on Tuesday, and then Thursday come home, take on the Hurricanes, and then the Islanders come to town 1 week from tonight in St. Paul, where they're trying to turn it around. And then finally, Sarah, I want to ask, injuries have been a big theme with this club. A lot of key players out of the lineup, Kirill Kaprizov, etc., but the fact that they've been able to maintain and get contributions from guys you might not expect has been a huge part of it as well.
This is the best kind of depth showing that they've had all season, you know, since it was announced that Kirill Kaprizov would have surgery for his lower body injury. And, you know, what an ideal way for the team to overcome his absence, you know, getting scoring from lower in the lineup, being able, you know, to have their defense be as steady and the goaltending, you know, that is the picture perfect way, you know, to weather an absence like Kaprizov, you know, when a team's leading scorer is missing, to have the fourth line start to contribute and the third line, and being able to roll over their defense as they have. It really has been shift to shift, a steadiness that, you know, maybe they showed it at times earlier in the season, but the consistency, there just hasn't been any weak links in this lineup these last three games. And so, you know, the timing is certainly right. They're missing Kaprizov, they're missing Jonas Brodin, they're missing Marcus Johansson. Obviously playing without key players has been somewhat of the norm this season, but to the degree that they're, you know, been able to get secondary scoring, get contributions throughout the lineup, this is the best it's been for them, and it's obviously a key reason why they've been able to pick up points despite not being at full strength.
Well, Sarah, always good to visit with you. We look forward to your coverage of the game tonight and your work in the Star Tribune.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Sarah McClellan joining us, John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Hotline. Once again, the Wild and the Senators from Ottawa tonight. They'll be in Boston on Tuesday, closing out this long road trip. But, you know, hey, they've been incredible on the road. And, Lindsay, that's what stands out. You look at their home record, 11-12-1. It is the worst of any team above the playoff line in either conference. But their road record is the best of any team in the league right now. So it's worked out so far. It really is crazy when you look at it that way.
Weirdly, I'm fine with it. Not necessarily the so many losses on the home side, but yeah. Hey, if you can win on the road, that means you don't really need that high seeding. And nobody really needs that high seeding because there's a lot of success NHL teams find on the road, especially in the playoffs. But I'm more concerned about the sustainability of the production throughout the four lines. I've been watching that closely, so I can't really speak to that as well as Sarah can. But I'm glad that they're starting to figure it out. You have to have at least two out of three of those main position groups at least running decently well and solid. And that hasn't always been the case with this squad. Sometimes you have to have, you know, the goalies come up and make some big saves. Sometimes the forwards need a gargantuan effort. But it's the NHL. There's a lot of games, and we're just outside of the longest month of the year, that is January. Home stretch.
And in the history of this club, they've had two elite goal scorers, Marian Gaborik early, and now Kirill Kaprizov, and he's on the shelf, and hopefully he's going to return and be able to get into form. They're going to get into the playoffs.
This year you want him to return for sure?
Well, no, but my point being is that I think if you want to get something done, elite goal scoring really helps in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And the Wild just haven't had that in their history. You know, Zach Parise was not an elite goal scorer. You know, he was a grinder and gritty and play both ends of the rink, etc. But you couldn't call Zach Parise, even in his prime, an elite goal scorer. And they have that in Kaprizov. And I think they really need that back. So hopefully the course they're taking with his injury is the right one and allows him to return and be effective at the end of the season. And then, of course, as you know, Lindsay, it doesn't matter if you're getting great play up front around the blue line. If you're not getting good goaltending, it doesn't matter.
No, that's correct. And so you never know who you're going to run into.
Yeah, what the goalie does is a big part of it.
We're the most important people, Steve. Let's just make sure everybody knows exactly that.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because everyone says, well, the most important position in sports right now is quarterback in the NFL. How about goalie in the NHL?
Preach to
or
me, Steve.
Goalie at any level.
Preach to me.
Yeah.
I love it.
5:21. Quick break. We will come back. Little hockey news. Golden Gopher women get a split this weekend. Good Friday night, not so good today against Ohio State. Meanwhile, the Golden Gopher men are on home ice. They go for the sweep of the Badgers at 3M Arena at Mariucci. We'll get into that in more detail in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hockey at the U today, tonight. Today, at Ritter Arena, the Golden Gophers fell to the Ohio State Buckeyes. 7-3 the final. After a 3-1 win on Friday night. So the Gophers and the Buckeyes split the weekend series at Ritter Arena. Meanwhile, the men go for the sweep tonight of the Wisconsin Badgers. And last night's game was funny. It was on Fox 9. And Jim Rich and Pat Micheletti do a nice job. But here's the thing about it. I was on for Henry Lake. And I knew the game was going to be on 9, so I put the TV on 9. It's kind of like have the hockey on during the show and see what's going on at 3M Arena at Mariucci. These guys did an hour-long pregame show before the drop of the puck last night. And I'm not complaining, but
border
it's like,
Border battle!
Yeah, it's like an hour. I mean, I know the Super Bowl pregame show is going to be like 8 hours, but it was like that's intense coverage of the border battle. By the way, the Gophers win 5-2. And this was kind of a funny game. The Gophers fell behind early, and the Badgers got the first two, and then the Gophers reel off five in a row, two in the second, and then three unanswered, including an empty net in the third to win it 5-2. And once again, they go at it tonight at 3M Arena at Mariucci, and then the Golden Gopher men on the road at Michigan next weekend. And the Golden Gopher women, I believe they go on the road as well as we get into the month of February, and they will take on Madison Wisconsin in Madison. So they'll get the Badgers down the road, about a 5-hour trip down there. Great town.
Facts.
Madison is a great town. And I know there's a lot of kids from the cities that go to school in Wisconsin, but it's a great town.
I just learned that. I just learned that this past summer.
You had spent some time down there?
Yeah, my cousin lives out there with his wife. They're both doctors, and so they're doing real things with their lives. And Sam, my cousin, he did his undergrad at Madison, and so I finally went down there and visited them. The only experience I had previously was playing Wisconsin as a member of the Ohio State women's hockey team, and I got to pick out my Kesha outfit on their version of High Street. I forget what it's called there, but putting all that together. But it's a fun city. It's green. Oh. It's big. The walking is great. There's a lot to like. And Quick Trips and Culver's abundant.
Yeah, plenty of Culver's
over
Wisconsin. Now, when I was doing Golden Gopher men's basketball on the radio for a couple of years, it was a weird arrangement years ago. This is pre-Mike Grimm, that Dave Lee was doing home games, and then I would do the road games. I don't know if it's ever happened in the history of American radio that one guy did the home games and one guy did the road game. So I went on all the road trips. So I got to all the Big Ten cities at the time. Now the Big Ten's expanded. I never went to Piscataway, New Jersey. I didn't get to go to L.A. I didn't get to go to Seattle. I didn't get to go to Eugene way back in the day. But Madison was a great time, and typically, I always traveled with Kevin Lynch, who was the analyst, and would work home games with Dave, and then I would do the road games, and we hit a couple of great restaurants right around the state capitol in Madison on my trips there, and I can't remember. I know it was the Tornado Room or the Tornado Club. I think it was the Tornado Room right by the state capitol in Madison. Just a great steakhouse. And I tried to hit them all. Maybe the best steakhouse has to be, though, in Bloomington, Indiana. Right in downtown Bloomington, Indiana, called Little Zagreb. And it's still there. And anyway. I remember the steakhouses more than I remember the games.
The important thing, Steve. We all have priorities in our lives.
Food.
You have to rinse repeat with how many sports you consume on a daily basis, though. Like, I wouldn't remember anything. I had trouble remembering things when I was covering the Golden Knights. It was like, which game is it? Is hockey just still happening? Cool. No breaking news.
Well, and you make a great point about that, because I still do games, like high school games, boys and girls hockey, boys and girls hoops, and then in the spring I'll do some softball and baseball. But I'll give you a little secret. I prefer lacrosse because as an announcer I get to sit in the football press box out of the elements, because you know how spring sports are.
Yeah.
You never really know. And many times softball or baseball, you're just sitting out in the elements behind the backstop, and it's a 30-mile-an-hour wind and 40 degrees. So that's why I've gravitated toward lacrosse in the spring. But you're right. You cover all these events, and it's kind of like there's some people that say, oh, yeah, I remember that game. You know, it was the first week of the season, and he had 31 points and 12 rebounds, and I'm like, I don't even remember who played.
Some people are savants like that, though.
Yeah.
I'm just, they're rare. And then when you have a play recall, they very rarely go into broadcasting. They usually play something first and then go into broadcasting. But yeah, it's just, it's a lot. And I got to think there's ties to just how much information we're intaking just as a general public thing, too. It's just there's no room for processing in this world anymore. And I really think it does us a disservice. And sometimes I think it's on purpose.
Could be.
Could be.
You could absolutely be right. Quick update on the weather. We'll come back. Timberwolves play tonight at home against the Wizards. This is an absolutely positively must-win the game tonight. No excuses. We will get into that in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. As we all know, as a sports fan, there are no guarantees. You can be a heavy favorite and get beat. You can be a underdog and still find a way. There's a saying in the NFL, and by the way, I'm going to lament the fact that there's no football this weekend. No football that counts at the high school, college, or pro level. Once again, meaningful regular season or playoff games since late August. And I'm in mourning. And we get one more game with the Super Bowl a week from tomorrow in New Orleans. It'll be Philadelphia and Kansas City, of course. But I go back to any given Sunday. You know the story. That's why they play the games. There are no guarantees. But tonight at Target Center, if there is an absolutely positively must-have regular season game. And this isn't a Monday night in the NBA or a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. This is prime time. Friday and Saturday nights in the NBA are a big deal. People go out to dinner. They get dressed up. Friday night and Saturday night are the big nights in the association. And the Timberwolves tonight are hosting the 6-41 Wizards. Here's their line, Lindsay. 6-41, that's a winning percentage of 128. I am no math major. That ain't good.
Probably better than last year, though.
That 5-20.
It's a black hole in Washington, right? I mean, now that the Commanders are coming back into out of the abyss, but the Wizards are firmly there. Irrelevant.
Yeah, the Caps, they still have Alexander Ovechkin. You know, I mean,
he's
going to
break the record, so that's all they have going for them, literally.
But the Wizards are 1-21 on the road. Now, we talked about the Wild. They've already won 20 games on the road, best record in the NHL. The Wizards going into tonight, 1-21 on the road, and they've lost 16 games in a row.
Ooh.
They have, by four games, the worst record in the NBA. Now, once again, as a rule, we talked about it earlier in the show, and I know you and I have chatted about it. As a rule, don't gamble on sports. Don't want to go there.
Ugh.
I just feel like I would get in trouble.
These are people.
It wouldn't be a good thing. You have to win this game tonight if you're the Timberwolves. And they've been playing better. They've won 5 in a row. Mediocre, 12-10 at home. Not great. 15-11 on the road. But they are playing better. Do you agree with me? This is an absolutely positively no excuses. You must win this game tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not even really about the points or the win or any of that. It's about the fact that you have some respect for yourself, that you don't take an L to the worst team in the NBA in your building. Like, that's just that we protect this house. See, we can still go into our football talkie with here, Steve. We'll use the same sayings, right?
Exactly.
Like, we protect this house, this inch, every inch. You have to. The only people I know on this team are Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma, and neither of them have done anything since the last stop that they were on, and both of them have been there for at least a year or two. And so it's just you're playing nobodies, and I want them to win the right way, too. I want a team cohesive performance, or maybe like an ant goes insane performance. Like, what does this team need in your mind besides beating the worst squad in the NBA on their home court? Like, what's the best formula to give themselves that little push?
Number one, even a buzzer beater to win and not cover, you just can't lose. Let's just start there. By the way, they're 11-point favorites at home, which is kind of a kooky number in the NBA. And a reason number 493 that I don't gamble on sports, this is a game where the Timberwolves could lead by 20 points at the end of one, lead by 30 at halftime, empty the bench for most of the second half, and give Ant and all the regulars a low-minutes night.
Efficient.
And then all of a sudden, the Wizards kind of creep back in, and then you get to crunch time in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, the Wizards are within 15, and you put the mortgage on the Timberwolves to win and cover that 11 points. And then that gets in jeopardy. And then at garbage time, the Wizards knock down some threes, and the Timberwolves win at 120 to 115. The game was never in doubt. That, once again, reason 493, I wouldn't bet this game at all. It's just whatever it takes. But you get to a good point. It's when the starters are out there. I want the starters in the second unit to dominate this team tonight. Whatever that is. And then when you get to the guys down at the end of the bench that don't get a lot of minutes, and, you know, okay, that's not nearly as important. But the starting unit to play well, defeat the Wizards early, get them to quit, and roll to a big win. Now, are you going to win by 40? I would never go there. You just don't know how. But, yeah. Anything less than a victory would be.
They don't win. I'm not going to watch one more game this year, Steve. Not one more.
No. We expect a lot more out of this club. And here's another thing. I don't know if you've seen it, but at some point, the Timberwolves ownership saga has to be decided.
Yeah.
I keep bumping into people. I was at a high school game the other night, and the guy who was running the camera on the stream, we talked about the Timberwolves for a while, and I said, what is taking so long? I thought, you know, they'd have arbitration, and then we'd get a decision, and I still don't think we've come to any decision from this arbitration panel that heard Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez argue why they should have the team and why Glenn Taylor should hang on to the team. And then those guys are just minority partners, and if they want to get bought out, they can get bought out. I would think that's coming up soon. Now, I doubt that has anything to do with how the coaches coach and the players play and any of that sort of thing. But that's got to be coming up fairly quickly.
Yeah.
I would think.
I would want that resolution, right? You want to know what direction the club is going. And again, I'm kind of sour at Glenn for doubling back, because I could get it. I'm going to sell you my car, my vintage car that I've had for many years. And all of a sudden, there's like a crash of a truck that's carrying every remaining version of that car. Now, your car looks like the best thing of all time. So the price has gone all the way up, right? That's and he reversed it. And so Male Eagle is undefeated still, but I still would favor that younger ownership, although I know that there's some holes in the finances. For someone like me, that doesn't matter, but I also don't think money is real. So I'm just like, resolve it, play ball.
Yeah, and money is an illusion.
It is. Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
I'm going to go to my grave with that. But I think you bring something up that – and. If you didn't have a chance to read it, I think you should. Jim Suhan, who works for the Star Tribune, which, by the way, is owned by Glenn Taylor, but he still wrote a very good, thoughtful piece on this. And you're right. When Glenn Taylor and Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez made a deal, and this is what Suhan explored in his column, that it was a good deal. And the length of the deal is they were able to get their feet wet as minority partners and kind of learn the ropes, and Glenn was still the controlling partner and signed off on spending money on this and that in the building and at the training center, and committing a lot of money to Tim Conley to come over from Denver. So there was a lot of moving parts. And Glenn, for the most part, was funding this the way I understand it. And these guys were his partners. And they said, we should do this, Glenn, we should do that. But when the time came, and that's what it all came down to, when it came time to actually take real money and put that money in a position where Glenn could see that money, and then they could go to the NBA and say, yes, here's the pile of money. They're paying Glenn for the controlling interest of the team, and the NBA and the other owners say, yes, we see the pile of money. We agree to the deal. We're going to let Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez in the club. It seems to me that the argument is, did they live up to their end of the bargain? And I'll just leave it at this. And I don't know who's right, and the arbitrators have it, and Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez have their study or story, and Glenn Taylor has his story, and it'll all be sorted out. But Jim Suhan made some interesting points in it. If you had the money, why isn't the deal done? I'm sure we'll find out the answer to that very shortly. Doesn't really impact me one iota. 10 minutes now in front of six. We'll come back. And Lindsay, you had an adventure.
I did. And I just cleared out some breaks to make sure that we have enough time for it.
Yeah. So let's get to it. And maybe you'll have to tell the story quick, but it's quite a story. And we'll get into it in a moment. Gopher Badger hockey tonight. The men at 3M Arena at Mariucci. Ottawa Senators. Minnesota Wild in Ottawa tonight, getting started shortly. Timberwolves Wizards downtown Minneapolis later. By the way, a sports huddle, Pete Najarian and Dave Schwartz between 10 and noon tomorrow. All right, Facebook Marketplace. If you've ever bought or sold anything on there, I used this term earlier, it can be fraught with peril. Lindsay?
So true.
What happened?
So I've recently started exploring a new creative outlet for myself. I've started collaging, which you're basically just cutting out a random bunch of pictures. You see how you can arrange them and you glue them on a poster board. It's great. It's fun. I can cut things. I can sort things. It's very relaxing. It makes me slow down. And so I have found that I really like animals and I like really cool pictures. And those seem to happen most often in magazines like National Geographic. And sure. I've already gone through a bunch of them. We went to Half Price Books trying to find some. I was like, maybe Facebook Marketplace. Maybe some people got some stashes. And let me tell you, there's a market. And I kind of let it die because I got busy. Things got lost in the shuffle until I got a random phone call on Wednesday, I think it was, from this old guy asking me if I was going to stop by his house, if I was still interested in the magazines and all that. And I said, sure, because clearly this guy wanted to unload them. And this is important to note, Steve, because I'm typically a very safe person. I go through a lot of planning. But because this guy called me out of the blue and said, come on over, and within 90 minutes I was at his house, there were a few things that safety Lynn's missed. And maybe it was the sign on the front door that had a picture of our president right now, Donald Trump, saying that the Democrats aren't trying to get to you, or they're not trying to get to me, they're trying to get to through me to get to you. And I was already like, okay. And you know what? Everybody has their own beliefs. This guy who I went in, his name is Walt, was very concerned about the people that have been jailed since January 6th. And so I was just trying to listen to him and mostly trying to make sure that I was going to stay alive. I didn't bring any of my weapons in with me, which, again, is something that I usually do when I'm out with strangers. I did not. He asked me to go down to his basement. I agreed. And I went down there, and thankfully, nothing happened. I knew I was going to have to do some tap dancing. He asked me some personal questions I was not prepared to answer at that time, but the answers I gave sufficed. We had a nice chat on the table about the people that he was concerned with. I talked a little bit about inclusivity in sports, because if we're just here to get better and sing kumbaya and find a place to practice life, I don't really care what's between your legs. It really doesn't concern me. And he seemed to gravitate towards that message a little bit more. And we hugged at the end. Plus, I got the magazines and two collector's magazines, not just ones I'm going to cut up. I got that issue, The Afghan Girl, from a couple of decades ago, I guess, with the very piercing eyes. She was in a refugee camp, unfortunately. And then there was a follow-up article maybe 17 years later. So I bought both of those magazines.
Wow.
They're now in my stash of physical things that count as my portfolio and my retirement fund. I have those two just gaining value minute by minute, along with my holographic Charizard cards. Pokemon is already making a ton of money. So I think I'm going to be fine.
You're set.
I'm set.
You're going to be able to retire young, and you'll have the story to tell. Now,
yes.
In total, how much did you drop on these magazines over
there? So you, 50 cents a piece for each of the oldies, at least the ones I was going to cut up. And then the collectors, he gave them to me for $30. So he probably screwed me over in that case. But again, I was just trying to get out of there. And they're just sometimes when people say, what about this lens? And I'm like, yes, I would like that. I would need that. I need that. And so I did that. It was not the safest thing I've ever done. Kids, don't do that. Alert people. And yeah. I let friends know that I was there. But it was still not the smartest thing that I have ever done in my entire life.
And the thing is, when I sell things on like Facebook Marketplace or on Craigslist, mm-hmm. I meet people at a McDonald's like 5 miles from my house.
Oh, not your house.
I don't want
house.
Anybody coming near my house.
Interesting yeah. thought there. Well, good for us. Thanks for giving me the space, though.
I'm glad you survived.
Me too.
We have the news and weather coming up.